Coast, New Orleans, and the River Region.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill. Local sports, national sports. The GCAT is on it.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Now, saddle up for a tall glass of sports talk. Here's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Welcome you to hour number two, Sports Hangover. Hour one is brought to you by No Wake Outfitters. As you know, it is Wednesday, the midway point of your work week. We will welcome you shortly, officially. Fletcher Mack with Channel 6 Sports will join us. Give us his hot takes, his opinions, trade ideas, you name it. Coming up next segment, we'll reset things.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
It's hump day.
Hump day! I know you can hear me. Let's get
stupid. Today's more that camel Wednesday, hump day.
What do you make of it? Is it a big deal or not a big deal? Does it lead you to believe what maybe you need to do or not to do? For the Pelicans, Shams Charania saying there was a discussion. A little back and forth between Willie and Brandon Ingram, game two at halftime against the Thunder. We spoke with Christian Clark earlier to lead things off about an hour ago. Now, one of the things that Shams was saying looks to be kind of like, well, normal back and forth, right? You would think, or do you look at it in a greater context? I'll play exactly what he had to say. I'll play what Brandon Ingram had to say at the end of the series. And I'll play what Willie Green had to say at the end of game one. All those different aspects of it here as well. Saints fans, I haven't forgotten about you 1 week from today. Not today, not tomorrow. Supposed to be tomorrow, but it's not. It will be Wednesday, in which we will have the NFL schedule. What say you? What do you want? Ralph Marlborough, Saints Happy Hour podcast. You know what he said? Give me Sean Payton, week one. In the dome. Hold my beer. Monday Night Football. That's what he wants. His reasoning, why wait to mid to late season? Both of these teams might have 5 or 7 wins. Remember they drafted Bo Nix. Saints first year. New offense. Very tough schedule. Your home games for the Saints, Falcons, Panthers, Bucks, who, by the way, have a 2-week head start on your New Orleans Saints. As rookie minicamp is this weekend, OTAs still to get going for your New Orleans Saints. Falcons, new head coach. Panthers, new head coach. Bucks have a new offensive coordinator, so I think that's why they're starting. They can start earlier and get that extra week. Bottom line, they can start. They're all practicing. All three social media departments for the Pigeons, the Kitty Cats, and the Yuccaneers. There they are. Go ahead. Go to it. At the Falcons, at the Buccaneers, at the Panthers. Go see it. The slow-mo of the deep ball Bryce Young is throwing deep to Thielen. There it is. Look at him. Look at him. Beautiful. As John 4K just said, because I sent it to him. What a beautiful touchdown pass. Too bad it didn't count. But his comment was so different when I sent him the Baker Mayfield photo and video yesterday. Super slow-mo Baker back to pass. Right on that third step. Ooh, look at that ball come out. 4K's comments, look at those thighs. You can see those leg muscles. Baker's been squatting. And of course, the only person I could send the Falcons super slow-mo, Kirk Cousins. Beautiful screen pass to some back. Was the graph. And I sent them a fresh one today. It wasn't a video. It was just a still. I'm assuming these are two Panther defensive backs. I don't know. They just tweeted, lockdown starts now. There they are. Two defensive backs in white jerseys. Got hoodies on. Must be chilly up in Atlanta. There they are, kind of crouched looking. No helmet, no nothing, no ball, no activity. Just ready to go. Ready to go. Because that's where we are. That's where we are this part of the season. And you know what? I am making fun, but you Saints fans cannot wait. Tell me y'all can't wait. Don't lie to me. You know you cannot wait until this weekend, rookie minicamp, and you will be thirsting. You will be refreshing. You can't wait to see Fuaga. And Ralph also said he wants to see Fuaga, and he wants to see Penning. Slow-mo. from the crouch, hand in the dirt, coming right up at an that air push, like you're blocking somebody, but it's nothing. It's just air. That's what you want to see. Don't tell me you don't want to see. Or do you want to see him pick up the sled? Just pick up the sled, take 2-3 steps, and then just drop it. Where do you want the slow-mo? Let me know. I'm going to be out there. What do you want? What do you want? Kool-Aid. You know, like one of the coaches is throwing the ball. Then he runs up to it. There's the slow-mo starts. The hands go up. Securing the football, and then full speed as he tucks it in. And what your mind will be a pick six, or at least an interception next year. You want to see that? Or what about Spencer Rattler? Because you know, every throw will be charted. I'm not making fun of the guys that do that. I'm just saying, they will be. And there will be several Saints fans that will look at his 22-for-23 weekend and declare a quarterback controversy. I'm just letting you know. That's where we are. We're thirsty. We can't wait to actually see it. So look, it's going to go from speculation to who they draft to how they get it. Now you see the photos. Now you see the interviews. They've had Zoom calls. Now you'll actually get to see them in Saints colors. They don't have the fleur-de-lis on the helmets, but you'll at least get to see them doing football stuff on the field. I understand fully it's May. I get it. I do. But it's a hell of a lot better than not, right? It gives you something, and then it starts the problem. You have to start somewhere. 4K's already making fun of it. Esparza thinks we're jokes, but Scott Craig he can't wait, because I'm telling you, at 14-3, if the rookies look good this weekend, and Underhill and them say, oh, they look great, he's going to up it to 15 by next Thursday. You watch it. You watch it. And after that first OTA, if Uwaga grabs Peyton Turner and tosses him aside, 16-1. You know what's coming. I'm just saying, you know what's coming. The other bit of Saints note, again, as I brought up, the schedule is next Wednesday. Not this Wednesday or Thursday. It's next Wednesday. Falcons, Panthers, Bucks, Browns, Broncos, Raiders, Rams, Eagles, Commanders. Those are your home games. On the road, the Saints will play Falcons, Panthers, Bucks, Cowboys, Packers, Chiefs, Chargers, Giants. So I kind of threw that out there. If you'd like to chime in, we can get into it. I got a lot tomorrow when we get to Katie's as well with the chef. What do you want? Do you want an easy team? Do you want to get what you would view to be one of your harder teams in September before things get cooking and are going? Like, where do you want the Chiefs? It doesn't matter. Where do you want the Chargers? Jim Harbaugh. Win them early? What do you want the Falcons? I mean, they're already planning their parade to win the NFC division, NFC South. You want them early? About Buccaneers, not one, not two, but three straight seasons as the NFC South champs. Would you like to get that win under your belt and assume that you should be able to beat the Carolina Panthers? Do you want Carolina again, like last year, week two? Do you like them in week two? Do you like them to be the first division team? Or do you go full Ralph Marlboro? Monday Night Football, Week 1, Sean Payton. I think the Saints, because of their season, I don't know if you're going to get very many primetime games. Now, Sean's return to the Dome, that has national appeal to it. And we ain't even gotten to, how are you reacting? Are you going full LSU fan and bleh? The way they boo Nick Saban? Are you going to go full LSU fan and bleep you, Peyton? Bleep you. Are you cussing at him? I mean, Chef's disallowed. Not only disavowed him, like Chef Scotty. You would have never known Sean Payton would have helped get Super Bowl in New Orleans. Is that how you feel? I am very curious, actually, how the Dome will receive him. There's actually only one way you should receive him. And that is a standing O. Literally. If anything, the last 2 years have shown you just how spoiled and good you had it for a little bit, right? Just letting you know. All right, I want to play this for you, because I'm going to ask Fletcher about it, too. Like, how much we should make of it? How big of a deal is it? This is Shams Charania. of The Athletic on his show, presented by FanDuel, all of that. He's a senior NBA writer. You know him. It's him and Woj. I mean, these two guys have all the insight and knowledge and things of that nature. So here's what he had to say about the Pels overall.
Guy, he's that guy that you can build around. The Pelicans learned that Zion Williamson is that guy. He's that guy that you can build around, and they intend to continue to do so. And for him, it's always been about health. That's the biggest factor. We saw it down the stretch of the season that hampered him. But Brandon Ingram, he'll be entering the last year of his contract at $36 million, one-time All-Star. They're going to have to see exactly how much they feel comfortable with, how much they feel like he's worth in a contract extension. But there were frustrations throughout Brandon Ingram as far as where he stood late in the playoffs, obviously sitting in one of the late games during the play-in tournament. And I'm told Ingram and Willie Green had an exchange at Game 2 in the locker room. Sources tell me Ingram essentially told Green he wanted the ball. He wanted Green to help him get the ball. And given how quiet Brandon Ingram is in nature, that direct approach with Green and how he spoke up toward the head coach, that obviously was a seminal moment in the locker room, something that did have a lasting impact since the end of the season. And that relationship is something to keep an eye on right now, going into a very important summer for Ingram, for the Pelicans, as they decide how to dictate the future. And you have to give Brandon Ingram this credit. He did get out an injury late in the season, played through it, and he's shown over the course of his career in New Orleans that he can be a guy that can lead this team, and he can carry this team, especially when they play without Zion Williamson. But with him back and knowing that Zion Williamson, you build around a guy like that, what happens with Ingram's future, as well as CJ McCollum, if they are, as David Griffin said, going to look to get better and make changes?
Very interesting. We'll take the break. Fletcher Mackel will join us as Hour 2 is underway. Brought to you by Chris's Paving, chrispaving.com. Driveways, parking lots, overlays, the works, asphalt, concrete. Call Chris if you're paving it. Chrispaving.com is the way to go. Check out all of the things that they can do. Quick break. We come back. Fletcher Mackel from Channel 6 Sports joins us next on ESPN New Orleans.
Half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Mr. Fletcher Mackel at Fletcher WDSU is the way to follow over on X. And, of course, Channel 6, weeknights, weekends, and even on Sunday nights here as well. Fletcher, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well, Gus. Thanks for having me.
Nah, man. Appreciate the time, sir. You know what? I lied. I gave you a rundown of what I wanted to do, but I got to get your opinion on this because I know you love it. Obviously, it's your family stuff. How incredible was the Zurich Classic that we just had?
It was maybe the greatest one in the history of the tournament, or at least probably in the last 25 to 30 years, since like Jack Nicklaus was coming here every year, kind of like a different era of golf, if you will. Look, my dad was a member of the Four Kids Foundation. He was a tournament chairman one year. I've been around golf, you know, my whole life. I've gone to that event either as a fan or now professionally for 20 plus years covering it for WDSU. And the weather, the champions, having Rory and Shane Lowry win, the crowd. I mean, there was, to say that it was the greatest year ever is you know, I keep saying it because it's true.
Yeah. I mean, Don't Stop Believing is my wife's favorite Journey song. Anytime that comes on, we do go into an impromptu, whether I like it or not, you know, karaoke. But for them to enjoy that, more importantly, you understand this because you're so, you know, fluid in social media and what it does to have that be shown everywhere and anyone can see, and the PGA people pick it up and the world picks that up. How incredible was that for people to be able to see Rory doing karaoke, man?
Oh, I mean, look, there was one national golf journalist that told me, he goes, look, I cover this every week and I travel with these guys every week. I can't believe Rory is singing Journey on stage right now post tournament. And I think that's great for the tournament. Because here's the thing. With all due respect to those players from BYU, that the former BYU players that Taysom Hill followed around, if they win, it's nice. And they're still great players on tour. They're professional golfers. But having Rory win, I mean, there were worldwide sports shows, digital coverage of Rory McIlroy wins, Rory McIlroy dancing on stage. Right. And it's nothing but good, positive publicity for New Orleans, the Zurich Classic of New Orleans. They're showing the jazz band. It was all good, positive coverage that you can't put a price on. And it was, yeah, that's fantastic that he was doing that. And I do think, look, I watched the Netflix show Full Swing. I think that's going to probably be its own episode next year, that Rory has been one of the tip of the spear, so to say, focal point people when it comes to PGA versus LIV. Mm-hmm. And it's been distracting and exhausting for him. And now he comes to an event in a great place, has some great meals, has some fun, and gets back to what sport is all about. I enjoy doing it. That's why I play. And he wins with his oldest friend. So, again, it was a great storyline and a great week.
Speaking with Fletcher Mackel at Fletcher WDSU. In 5 seconds, do you ever see you think Tiger Woods with his son as a team, maybe?
I jokingly tell that to a lot of people. Look, Rory and Tiger are very close. Charlie Woods is getting up there where I think he's 14 or 15 now. I think Tiger, you know, who's from the L.A. area, I think the L.A. Open back in the early 90s, like 92, 3, 4, gave Tiger, who was like the number one amateur junior in the country, a sponsor's exemption when he was 17. So I do think we're at least approaching the conversation of, would the Zurich, if Tiger was coming, would they give Charlie a sponsor's exemption to play? Because as big as the crowds were for Rory, and they were some of the biggest we've ever seen, if Tiger and Charlie were playing their first professional event together, and it was Charlie's debut on tour, with Tiger making his first ever appearance in New Orleans, it would be epic.
No doubt. All right, so let's transition to the Pels and the Saints rookie mini camp coming up here as well. So let's start with the Saints, because you're probably going to have a longer answer and take when it comes to the Pels here as well. So two things I really just want to know from you. The schedule comes out 1 week from today. The graph, he says, give me Carolina on the road. He wants to start a road. Go do that. Ralph Marlborough joining us in hour number one. He says, bleep it. I want Sean Payton Monday Night Football game one back in the dome. Who would you like the Saints to open and close with?
I mean, obviously, I know they're closing with a division opponent. So I am perfectly fine always closing with the Falcons. And I hope it's meaningful this year. And maybe it comes down to a division championship, you know, two teams, you know, that both could use it, that have both signed quarterbacks that have a lot to prove, maybe Carr more than Cousins, but Cousins has only won one playoff game. So I would love to see them close with the Falcons at home. I just think that's always great. If not, the Falcons in Atlanta is cool too. I like that idea. I think that sounds like a great idea. Look, the Saints opened up in 2019 on Monday night. Is part of a 17 and 19 is part of that Monday night doubleheader. In 17, they opened up at Minnesota, 6 p.m. kickoff. And in 19, they opened up at home against the Houston Texans because the NFL does that Monday night doubleheader to kick off the season. I'm perfectly okay with that. If they get Sean Payton on Monday night football, even if it's an earlier Monday night kickoff at 6 p.m.,
right.
That sounds great. And I do think that's a game that the schedule makers look at. Sean Payton returning to New Orleans. That's got to be a primetime game. I would personally love to see it on Thanksgiving night. The Thanksgiving night game, the Saints played Thanksgiving night 3 or 4 years. They played Atlanta, and then they had a year off, and then they played Buffalo. The only thing I think the schedule makers are probably going to be hesitant with doing something like that is Sean Payton's in a really good division, and he's going to play a rookie quarterback. And, you know, by Thanksgiving, the Broncos could be 3-8, and the Saints could be 5-6. So it could be a dud game on Thanksgiving night. So I would say give me early in the season, Saints-Broncos. I like that idea.
Yeah, that's what I like. You'll be out there this weekend looking at rookie minicamp. What's an intriguing aspect for you? Is it you want to see Fuaga? Well, where's your slow-mo that you're going to grab there to open up the highlight, the tease package? Coming up next in sports, Fletcher has it. What are you showing? What's that first highlight you're going to show? Is it Rattler? Is it Fuaga?
Again, you know, it's so funny. Probably something with Spencer Rattler because he plays quarterback, and that's kind of a sexy position, and people are always interested, even though Derek Carr's going to be the guy. But I want to look at the O-line, and I think we'll be talking a lot about that because I said this the other night on the news. We know Eric McCoy's playing center, and we know Cesar Ruiz is playing right guard. But after that, I have no clue. Like, I think Taliese Fuaga, the first-round draft pick, is going to start, But I don't know about the right side or the left side. I think the right side because I don't think Ryan Ramczyk is going to play football again.
Good point.
But is Penning plugged in back at left tackle? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, is Nick Saldivari last year's fourth-round draft pick at left guard? Are they kicking Penning inside to guard, and they're going to try Landon Young at tackle? So, to me, the O-line is a major question mark.
There it is. You see, we think about that. We have to, you know, send the tease video in there as well. All right, Fletcher, we kind of touched on that. Obviously, we'll get closer to OTAs. We'll get a little bit more into the Saints thing. But what do you make of Shams, you know, report yesterday? There was a discussion in the locker room. Brandon Ingram, Willie Green. Willie Green after game one, hey, B.I.'s got to basically go out there and do some things for himself. Now, afterwards, in that halftime, I guess, discussion, saw some people yesterday post stats and pick and rolls and things that the team did do. So they did try to do things of that nature. I've also seen the last 24 hours people say, hey, that offense the Pels had, they kind of scrapped it midseason, kind of went this way and that way, and B.I. kind of wanted it to be more what they did before Zion and stuff. And Fletcher, I've been on my show saying I felt like this team had like an identity crisis or changed its identity in the last month and a half of the season. So this kind of makes me feel like I'm not losing my mind. Did you see that as well, that his team kind of looked different, not as much Jonas doing this and doing that, and the offense being stagnant? I don't know. What do you make of all of this in its totality?
So in its totality, I look at it and say, I felt like I was watching two different teams for a large portion of the season. I felt like, you know, really, he couldn't figure out, and they couldn't figure out, even though I was at practice and we showed video of, hey, B.I. and Zion are working together and they're communicating after practice and they're trying to make it work. But I saw those two start. Then I saw those two open the second half. And then I saw when they were healthy, those two closing. But other than that, Willie staggered their minutes. And I felt like there was kind of the Zion-centric team.
Good point.
And then there was the B.I. playing, you know, kind of isolation B.I. ball. And it was just so perplexing. I do think their offense shifted because I think that they planned on having B.I. as kind of their point guard facilitator and Zion more as like a small ball center. And they certainly morphed away from that at the end of the season where Zion was kind of their main facilitator. And I think he creates a lot of open looks. But I just feel like they've never found synergy. That really does not play them in stretches together. And then the rest of the guys have to figure out who works best with each player around them. And so, like, obviously, I think Trey is fantastic with Zion because he creates so many looks for him. And I certainly think somebody like Dyson is good with B.I. because he's an aggressive rebounder, holds D up. And when B.I. wants to play kind of that hero isolation ball, he's a guy who doesn't need the ball. And so, but nobody on that team was a force multiplier for the other one, so to say. And that's where I think, you know, the problems came in against Oklahoma City, even though Zion was out. And that stretches down at the end of the season when they were all playing together. And really all season long, why we never saw the big three with a great net rating, because they just couldn't figure it out. I think Brandon Ingram still looks at himself in kind of that Kobe Carmelo way, like, I need to be weaponized and be the guy, but that's wrong. And I certainly think they need to lean into Zion more as kind of that main facilitator. But when he's off the floor, how do you play? So, right. Again, I think there's a lot of questions about this offense, this team, this roster that I believe are going to be fixed this offseason, because the West is insanely difficult. And I do think David Griffin is a very smart person who knows I cannot run it back with this group and think we're going to have internal growth.
If you had to lay a guess, which of the big three you think maybe isn't back?
Well, Zion is back. Yep. I mean, the only way Zion is not back is if the player coming back in a trade for him is named Luka, Giannis, or Joel. I mean, like, with all due respect, again, B.I. 8 years in has made one all-star team. He is not the second coming of Kevin Durant. He's not Paul George. You know, so I pitched a trade the other day saying that, like, you know, maybe Paul George could come here if he opts in, and the Clippers could send B.I. and Larry in a pick or two to the Clippers. And somebody wrote at me, we have Paul George. We have B.I.
Oh, no.
And I just don't think people understand. No. Like, Paul George is a 9-time All-Star, a 5-time All-NBA player, a 4-time All-Defensive player. Like, Brandon Ingram is a good player. Nobody should ever think he's not. He's a 20-a-night point scorer. But he is the second, third, or fourth best player on a championship team. Look, Drew Holiday, I brought this up to David Griffin. When David Griffin got here, he said Drew Holiday can be an MVP. And other people in the organization told me no chance. And there was no chance. Saying it doesn't make it true. Drew Holiday went to Milwaukee. Giannis is the best player. Middleton's an all-star. Drew was kind of the missing piece, yeah. The third best player on a great team. In Boston right now, Tatum and Brown are the best players. Drew and Porzingis just have to be the third and fourth best players.
Perfect.
B.I. Yeah. is at best the second and maybe the third or fourth best player on a good team. And until he realizes that, he's never going to be, to me, a significant contributor on a winning team. If he still thinks he's the dude, he's not. CJ, I think, understands who and what he is. And I am perfectly fine with CJ as an off-the-ball shooter, leader, yep. doing what he does. But Zion has that MVP potential, top 10 potential, and if he stays healthy, there's no chance you can move him. So B.I. is the easy move. CJ, I wouldn't rule out, but the one who's not going anywhere, you know, somebody jokingly asked me, well, why don't you sell high on Zion? And I go, selling high on Zion means getting another top 5 player, top 10 player back, and nobody's doing that.
Yeah, no doubt. In about 10, 15 seconds here, do you keep the Lakers' 17th pick for this year?
Maybe. I don't know how to answer that. You can use it in a trade.
That's what
I
mean. Yeah.
You know, trade 2 first-round draft picks. So maybe. There's so many unknowns with that right now. I don't know how to answer it.
Well, because I'm with you. I love who you've been saying for a while. Unfortunately, in every mock draft now, Alex Saar is number 1 overall. It's like, it's not a very deep draft, but I'm with you. I think trying to find him. You saw what Chet did yesterday. You just look at the Western Conference. Wembanyama's the rookie of the year. Will Guillory last week said, look at center perhaps more than a point guard as the immediate need on this team. And he went through the list of centers and bigs and things of that nature in the league and also in the West. And I'm like, I hear you. And I've been seeing you post about Saar all the time, man. He's 7-1, but I don't know if you can get up to 1. You know what I mean?
No, I don't think if Detroit gets 1, it's going to be hard to trade, even for Brandon Ingram. It's going to be hard for them to give up 1, even though Detroit doesn't want another 18-year-old on their roster.
Right.
But I would look at like Isaiah Hartenstein and say, if you can give him a big money deal, you at least have somebody that can neutralize potentially, you know, Wembanyama and Chet. Instead of trying to find them, you can at least get Hartenstein in who may be able to D up on them and create a different dynamic for you.
Good point. Fletcher, thank you so much for your time today, sir. Appreciate it.
All right, Gus, thank you.
Hey, what time can people see your all show on Sunday, sir?
Oh, yeah, 11 o'clock Sunday night, game on. Thank you for the plug, and yeah, check us out.
All right, looking forward to it. At Fletcher WDSU, something tells me they'll have a handful of Saints rookie mini-campuses again over this weekend on Mother's Day this Sunday. Do not forget, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much. Appreciate the time. Quick break. We come back. We'll open up the Rudiman Can caller and guest line, 800-998-1003. RudimanCan.com. Go check them out as we are in hour two, which is brought to you by Chris's Paving. We'll see you right after this break on the Sports Hangover at ESPN New Orleans.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Welcome back on the Rudiman Can. Caller and guest hotline 800-998-1003. As Mr. VoiceOver said there, RudimanCan.com. Buddy, back over the LaRose studios. We'll take your phone calls. We'll be over at Katie's tomorrow. We do have some high school baseball that will precede us. It should end around 12:45, 12:30, 1 o'clock-ish. So we'll be ready to go. We'll be sitting there. I may have a mouthful of onion rings, but I will be ready. As soon as that high school game ends tomorrow, we'll come to you live from Katie's. And on Friday, we'll be over at the Gold Line on Airline, Shrine and Airline, whatever it is you'd like to call it, home of the NOLA Gold, as we will be there every Friday before home game. The next two Fridays, they have home games, so we will be there as well. So looking forward to that. And again, next Wednesday is the schedule release, so I can promise you, next Thursday, when we're at Francesca by Katie's Deli and Pizzeria and Catering, I think I got it all, Scott. we're going to be talking about the schedule. It'll be out. Officially, those videos and everything the team puts together and everything will come out at 6. All those leaks. The leaks will be going here. CBSSports.com posted this earlier today. Things they already know about the NFL schedule. So look, we'll open up the phone lines this segment. Jeff Boggs next segment. I want to hear from you, though. If you're a Saints fan, who do you want the Saints to open up with and close? Fletcher was our last guest. I asked him. He said, hey, it's always like it's going to be a division opponent you're going to close with. He's like, it should always be the Falcons. I'm in. Todd hates it. I got it. But, Graf, the NBA season will be going on. So, you know, you'll be lucky again, maybe. Hopefully. The Pels will be playing and you won't have to pay attention as Todd likes to go dark during Saints games when the Pels are playing. But who do they open up with? Who do you want them to open up with? Graf says, send me on the road. Give me Carolina. Now, the Panthers were week two last year. I would assume week two or three for sure is going to be a division team, right? I mean, that's kind of what you've seen in the past. It's something that's happened. By comparison, and again, it's not that they look at last year's schedule or the schedule before that and kind of make you think that that's what it is. But when you look at the Saints, like last year, right? Normally in that first month of the season, those first four games, you tend to have a division opponent or two in the first four. Last year, remember, it was the Titans at home, you won 16-15. Then it was at the Panthers, another close one, 2017. Then at the Packers, one, you should have won 18-17. Then you lost at home to the Buccaneers, 26-9. So Panthers and Bucks, I can't see you're not going to play division. Now, in the past, they've opened up against a division opponent. Todd says, give me an AFC West team. Let's start it out now. Well, if we're going to go the grass route, which is give me road game, the road games are the Cowboys, the Packers, the Chiefs, the Chargers, and the Giants. He's like, I'll take the Giants. Good with me. Remember, they are training out there in California. What if it's the Chargers? But you do still have the preseason game. So do you want to spend all that time out there, come home for a preseason game, then fly back out? That's going to be odd. So that first month, that first week or two, I'm going to be interested to see how long it takes them to kind of re-acclimated, if that's even a thing. Your home games, other than division teams, Browns, Broncos, Raiders, Rams, Eagles, and Commanders. I think the Eagles are going to be pretty good. I know Barlin. I know you think your Cowboys are going to be really good. Ralph Marlborough, Saints Happy Hour podcast, and hour number one said, give me Sean Payton. Hold my beer, make it a Monday night doubleheader. Week one, Sean's return to the dome. All summer. The 2 weeks leading to training camp. Starting training camp. Every single player, the mascot, the fans at training camp, everyone will get asked at least once. Hey, you have any thoughts of facing former head coach Sean Payton? To open the scene. It will be, probably I can hear Graf though, 10 weeks of misery. Everyone will be talking about it. The hopes and dreams. I do think that game is earlier. I'm going to go first half of the season than back half of the season because of what Fletcher said. The Broncos are going with Bo Nix. I can't see they don't start Bo Nix. That's a rookie quarterback. I don't see many wins. And Chef, turn the volume down. I think this is a growing season for the Saints. See, that was positive. That was a positive word. I didn't say disappointing. I didn't say non-playoff. I said it's a growing, a learning season for the Saints. But what if you're at 5 or 6 wins post-Thanksgiving? Because Fletcher's like, give it to me on Thanksgiving. You can have your turkey. You're sitting there, your belly all full, and now it's time to watch the Broncos take on the Saints in the Dome. See, I would mind starting with the Falcons. That's my pick. Give me Atlanta. I'm already tired of seeing their social media page. the lockdown season starts now. There's a photo of two cornerbacks. That was today's post. Kirk Cousins, the most beautiful slow-mo screen pass to somebody. See, what was yesterday's? I mean, it's just one thing after another. Like, just, I mean, they're already planning the division-winning parade. I mean, they wished happy birthday to Michael Penix Jr. Oh, there's a nice catch. Locked in London. Huh? See what they did there? There's Drake London. About to catch the ball. Hand spread. Look at those digits. All five fingers. Nice and wide. Turning. Looking for that football. That's a beautiful pass. I bet you that was Kirk. Or was it Michael Penix? Oh, this one's a beautiful one. How about Arthur Blank sitting on a desk? Because that makes sense. It looks like a desk or something. I don't know. They'd put that in the concourse. Just looking at an empty stadium. I'm sending this to Graf. I'm so bad. He's trying to enjoy his off season. Here you go. I can't wait to see what his reaction is. What a photo. Anyway, who do you want to see start with the season start? CBSSports.com says, we already know a couple of things. Thursday night opener in Kansas City. They're the defending champs. And yes, Taylor Swift will be in attendance. You will know about it. Everybody will be about it. That's how it works. So that's how it is. Who do they play, though? Their home schedule consists of the Broncos, Chargers, Raiders, Ravens, Bengals, Texans, Saints, and Buccaneers. Could you imagine New Orleans being the sacrificial lamb for the banner dropping home opener? Hey, look, the Lions went there last year and won. Would you want to see the Saints open the season Thursday night? See, the Lions were an up-and-coming story. That's why they went non-division, non-AFC opponents. And it turned out to work, right? It did. It laid the groundwork to, oh, wow, the Lions are this good. I don't think it's the Saints. I don't think it's the Saints. Honestly, when I saw that, first thing popped in my head is the Bengals. Joey B. Joey B's return. Started throwing Monday. He's got the long hair going again. Long hair Joey B is better than short hair Joey B. That's just my opinion. But, I mean, who wouldn't? I absolutely want to see Joe Burrow at the Chiefs Thursday night. That's me. That's me. The old Ravens, I don't want to see a defensive battle. Give me Joey B. But I do think it could be the Ravens, too. Roy just texted. He also thinks it could be the Ravens and Bengals. That's what I think. The NFL is going to play in Brazil for the first time. Sao Paulo will be hosting the NFL's first ever game in Brazil. That will be coming in week one. The Eagles will be hosting the Packers. So we already can take the Eagles being the week one opponent for the Saints off of the books. That is a home game for New Orleans this year, but it won't be. We can take the Packers off of the books in terms of being the week one opponent because the Packers are a possible road opponent for the Saints this year. Well, it can't be both of those teams in week one. It'll be later on because in week one, they will play in Brazil. The international series will also feature a couple of games in England. Bears, Vikings, Jags, each will serve as the home team in one game. As for the home game in Germany, the Panthers will serve as the home team. The only team the Saints could play there, you think it could? I don't think the Saints go to Germany. I think we might have already known that by now. Anyway, Christmas doubleheader. That's going to happen again as well. That's the first time. And because it's a Wednesday. For just the third time in 75 years, the NFL will be playing on a Wednesday. And it will be happening this year because of Christmas. It falls on a Wednesday this year. Two games on a Wednesday. What about that for a Christmas present? Hating the Dome. Jeff Boggs from our sister station, WKANE, joins us next on ESPN New Orleans.
What is dedication?
My daughter started making necklaces. She makes what we call affirmation fashion. I tell her every day that your black is beautiful. Your black is beautiful. And if there's anything better than being beautiful, it's being smart. And if there's anything better than being smart, it's being kind. And reaffirming that every day is our method of making sure her chin never drops. My dad wasn't around, and I remember riding a bike and falling off and cutting myself, and me never would just want to get back on it. People ask, how your children learn how to ride a bike, and you didn't. I didn't teach them. I just created an environment where they taught themselves, and all I had to do was be there.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is Neil Small Engines here. Listen up. That's what we did at Gravely. We listened to lawn professionals, then we brought that professional performance home. Gravely Residential Zero Turn Mowers show the neighborhood that you mean business. Zero turns that are tough as nails. Operator comfort beyond compare. We have had over 100 years of professional advice to perfect cutting performance. Just drop the deck and put the neighbors on notice. Gravely, driven from within. At Neil Small Engine with three locations, Houma, Thibodaux, and Cutoff.
Lady of the Sea Community Pharmacy staff are trained in finding the lowest cost available on your medication. Stop by with your prescriptions or medicine bottles and let one of us review your options with you. With two convenient locations to serve you, we're located in Rouse's Supermarket, Highway 3235 in La Rose, or at Lady of the Sea Medical Clinic in Cutoff. Our staff available Monday through Friday from 8:30 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Saturdays 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Mr. Jeff Boggs, sir, how are you this afternoon?
Doing good. Doing good, thank you very much. Happy to be with you on a hump day.
Yes. Always nice to know you halfway to the weekend. I don't know if you happen to look at CBSSports.com, the homepage. They have quarterback rankings, new top 10. That's always nice. Denver, we need a desperate MVP performance from Jokic. We can get into that. The third story, there's a photo of a Cub reliever, and he's wiping his brow. Bullpen threatening to derail Cubs fast start. Hey, we made the homepage, Jeff. We made the homepage. How about that?
I did see that story. That is one of the feeds I follow on a regular basis, and it's so true. I mean, it's black and white, unfortunately, but hopefully things start to get better.
Yeah, hopefully that does happen. Got a lot to get into. We still got some NBA playoffs to attend to, too, but you know what? We don't pay attention to the ice. The NHL also is going through their playoffs here as well, Jeff. What game on the ice would you like to pay attention to?
Tell you what, I prepped for the Bruins and the Panthers. In fact, a couple of fun things on this one as well. Boston won game one, but they're underdogs against Florida. Again, at Florida, -1.5 are the Panthers as far as the spread, the money line, over-under. I should say over-under is 5.5, pretty low, and -165 for Florida, +140 for Boston. And again, that's despite the fact that Boston won. In fact, the consensus that I'm seeing is that Florida wins this game. Sergei Bobrovsky's game one loss now means he has an all-time playoff record of 5-7 against the Bruins in his career. Game one loss was also Carter Verhaeghe's first game this postseason that he didn't record a point. He has 5 goals and 9 points in 6 games this spring. Mason Lorie's game-winning goal in game one against Florida makes him the fourth ever rookie defenseman in Bruins history to accomplish that feat, and Jake DeBrusk continues to produce for the Bruins. He now has 4 goals and 6 points in 8 playoff games, and again, the consensus is that Florida's winner today covers as well. Fun thing, too, though, if you want to go to ESPN Bet and check out certain prop bets like series total games. Boston's up 1-0. +800 that it ends in 4 games, +290 that it ends in 5 games, +180 that it ends in 6 games, and again, +180 if it ends in 7 games. So check out ESPN Bet for props like that. Boston does have a tendency to string these series out.
I'm going to go, you know what, let's just say six games. You want to go with six games?
I would run with six, especially if Boston wins tonight.
Okay, makes sense. Let's do that. NBA playoffs, I feel strange. It's not a doubleheader. It's just one game tonight, 7 o'clock on TNT. Pacers and the Knicks, it's game two of the series. Game one, Jalen Brunson, another. Do you know he has four straight 40-point games, Jalen Brunson?
That is in my notes, as a matter of fact. That's pretty impressive. A couple of things, and we'll get to a couple of those things. Mitchell Robinson, Bojan Bogdanovic, Julius Randle out for the Knicks. Benedict Mathurin, shoulder. He's sidelined for the Pacers. Tyrese Halliburton, he's listed as questionable, dealing with a back issue. Money line, or the spread, -4.5 for the Knicks. Under 218.5, the over-under, and money line -195 toward the Knicks. +165 for the Pacers. Pacers 48-39-3 against the spread this season. Knicks 29-22 against the spread this season when favored. So the Knicks, they're being led by Jalen Brunson. He's scoring from all three levels at will, apparently, and is setting up the offense for his team. He's averaging a team-high 36.6 points, 8.6 assists in the postseason. Again, Brunson had 43.6 boards, 6 assists, and again, as you mentioned, fourth straight game with 40-plus points. And for the Pacers, forward Pascal Siakam, the Pacers' most consistent scorer, the product from New Mexico State, pulls down his fair share of boards, but can also knock down a jumper for you. He leads the team in both scoring, nearly 22 a game, and rebounds. And look for center Miles Turner to be a factor. He's been a very athletic interior player in the front court. Turner, big rim protector with soft hands around the lane. So again, Pacers, Knicks. Knicks barely escaping with that four-point lead, -4.5. I don't think that's a complete coincidence. But again, look for the Knicks to stay consistent.
If I want to get involved in ESPN Bet, sir, how can I do so?
Well, you know, every shot, every goal, ESPN Bet. Got fans covered for the biggest moments on the road to the championship. Exclusive sportsbook of ESPN, the only place to find special offers and promotions from your favorite ESPN shows, personalities throughout the playoffs, and new users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet does not win. Download ESPN Bet today. Again, what a play. Got to be 21 and older, and if you do have a gambling problem, please do something to help that. 1-800-522-4700. And as always, in partnership with LaBerge Lake Charles, terms and conditions apply. Gus, check out the app for all the details.
Hey, before you go, I got something for you. My little present just for you. Ready? I think I sent it to you already this morning, but I'll do it on air.
You did it.
Drilled in the air. Right field. Bush has won.
There it is. Drive safe. Go home, Cub fans. Cubbies walking it off last night in the rain and lightning in the background. A great photo somebody had from the stands. It was incredible.
Absolutely. It was great to see Belly back, too, with a belly blast.
I'm good. They're on their way, by the way. I'm scared to look at the score right now.
Just it's 1-0 San Diego.
See, that's what I'm saying. I just wait for a little bit. I'll wait to look. Thank you, Jeff. We'll talk again tomorrow, sir.
Take care.
Yeah, for sure. 800-998-1003. So as we said, we do have the NFL schedule coming out. I'm throwing it out there. I'd love to hear from you, fans. What do you want? Who do you want the Saints to open up with? Do you want them to open up with the division team? Do you want them to open up with Sean Payton to the Dome? I'm real curious how you're going to... I mean, you're not going to boo him, are you? Are we booing Sean Payton? Are we? Because, I mean, the camera's going to show him, right? I mean, like when they take to the field and they show him on the sideline, are we booing him? Are we cheering for him? Quite honestly, are we going NBA? Are we doing a tribute video? Will the Saints have a tribute video for Sean Payton? At first time out. First quarter. Right? Well, you know, the teams come take the field before the kickoff. They go to commercial break. Are we doing a tribute video. Just like the NBA does. We've seen them do it for other teams and other players. Because that whole Saban thing was always so curious to me. Like, literally, to this day. My wife and I, we've had arguments. Bleep Nick Saban. Why do you hate him? What did he do to you? Like, he literally got that school to start thinking in a certain direction and started the process. Literally brought a championship. Like, the thing, and I love it. I love Matt. But, like, I laugh sometimes at this, we deserve to be champions every year thing, when literally for so long of my lifetime, being 48 years old, the most glorious thing talked about was a Halloween run with grainy footage. I'm just being honest. Like, the start of, okay, fine, you want to start talking about LSU as being a national contender or a school where it's championships or bust kind of thing. You want to act like you're Texas and Bama. You know, by the way, Bama went through a massive lull until they got Nick. But that's what I mean. Look, and I guess I could understand it to an extent if Nick left for Bama. He left for Miami. And they blew it not signing Drew Brees. And it didn't work out well. The man literally just quit a job he would never be fired from. Went to the playoffs. Just couldn't take it anymore because it wasn't about the coaching aspect, the developing of players, what have you. Now, you could say that that's not what it is. I hear you. I'm just telling you, it got done. That's no different than what it was in Miami. Do this. Yeah, man, I'll get to it in a second. I'm sorry? Yeah, dude, you're in the pros now. I'm a man. Do what I want. It's different. He couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. Left. Of course he's going to take the job that's offered to him. But I never understood that. Like, the hate, he even said, he's like, I don't hate Baton Rouge. I don't hate LSU fans. Like, I mean, literally just 100,000. F you, Saban. I mean, are we going F you, Peyton? My opinion, don't do that. That's, the man brought you a championship. And Chef Scotty, yes, he did. Stop it. But I am curious, which is why I absolutely think if I'm the NFL, that's in the first month of the season, before the season gets away from any of those teams, in case it does, and the intrigue is there, and it will. But yeah, I'm just saying, if it is the first game of the season, all summer, you want to talk about buildup? And it will be build-up. You'll have every TV station have those packages that weekend, the night before. We ask local business owners and people, patrons at bars, how do they feel about Sunday or Monday night's game when Sean Payton returns to New Orleans? And there's Buddy. Buddy, what do you think? There it is. Like, I mean, like, is it going to be a positive thing? Is it like, hey, he ain't my coach no more? It's going to be interesting. And then there's a whole other element to it as we go to break. How does he come into that game? Because we've seen him, Greg Williams, the Falcons, when we've seen him be Petty Sean. Does he come in here and treat the game a bit differently? What if he drops 50? Now, from that point, then you can boo him and you can bleep you Sean Payton, right? If he comes in and drops 50, runs up the score, then you know there was something to it. Because, again, we're still waiting, just like we're waiting for Anthony Davis to say thank you. We're still waiting for Mickey Loomis' words on what he thought of Sean Payton's time here. He has yet to tell us. It's very interesting, don't you think? I don't think that ending was the way many people believe it did or should have gone. Sports Hangover continues tonight with 3 Next on ESPN New Orleans.
Don't miss a minute of the action on the diamond with ESPN Bet. The exclusive sportsbook of ESPN is the only place to